But as a team, we're all trying to pull kind of our section of Penguin into like the year 2020, I guess. Like we're trying to make Penguin relevant, make it cutting edge, make it all the things you associate with the Penguin books.
That's Tim Lane, and this is the On Design podcast. Hi everyone, and welcome to the new episode of the On Design podcast. I'm your host, Justyna Green. I hope you're doing super well, and we're back from the break sooner than I thought. And that's just because there suddenly have been so many amazing people around me, so many creatives, that I thought, gosh, I need to pull them into the podcast and bring them to you. And I do think that coming into the autumn and end of the year and days getting darker, it is time to keep up our inspirations going and keep the positivity, because I know it's bloody hard sometimes. So what we're doing, we're having 5 more episodes before Christmas. They're very varied, different stories, a very diverse range of guests. And that way we'll spend more time together before Christmas and then have a short break and kickstart next year. And start next year on a high, I hope. So today's guest is Tim Lane, who's the creative director at Penguin Creative. Tim joined Penguin a year ago and founded Penguin Creative as a creative arm of the company, which takes care of its digital and video output. So he works separately from the print team, and still though, kind of using, of course, the Penguin heritage in everything that he does, but also stepping up the digital game for Penguin to make it relevant to current audiences, and also to make it an interesting branded creative entity on its own with very, very strong storytelling. And Tim is a fantastic creative. We have had a really, really good chat, which you'll really enjoy. And the brilliant thing in our conversation is the kind of the juxtaposition of print and digital, because before joining Penguin, Tim was the first outside of the US art director, I got it right, for BuzzFeed. So completely different world, but he's made them work so well together, and some stuff that he's done at BuzzFeed is also incredible, and we cover all of that and more in our conversation. So enjoy. The very first question, and just for the listeners, we're recording this again because we were so far into our pre of the record chat, I forgot to press play. So here we are again.
It happens to us all.
So, and so working with Penguin, is it something you've always wanted to do? Is it kind of among your peers, the holy grail of design, or did you stumble into it?
Yeah, well, it's interesting with my journey to Penguin. So when I left art college, like about 15 years ago now, I left Central Saint Martins and I studied graphic design, and I knew I wanted to get into print, and I loved typography and what have you. And my very, very first job, if you call it that, that I did after university was working in a newspaper redesign company with someone called John Belknap. And I was only there, say, 2 or 3 months, and I learned a lot about layout design in terms of like publishing design and typography and image and type and all that kind of thing. And then my very first proper job a few months after working with him was at Penguin, actually, where I was a design trainee. And it's so long ago now, like sometimes I even forget I did work there that long ago. But so I was there about a year or so, and then coming kind of full circle, coming back to Penguin as creative director like 15 years later, it's quite weird. Yeah, so it's Penguin was kind of in my DNA before I got this role. But in terms of sort of like the holy grail of art direction, I wouldn't say there is any one place that everyone would say is the holy grail of art direction, but in the UK and in sort of design history, I'd say Penguin is as kind of relevant and important as anything has been in the last kind of 100 years, I guess, especially in publishing. And I think the kind of the way Penguin started, like design was very much part of its success in those early days, and that paperback revolution, as they called it, where you could get affordable books that also looked great, that looked really, had a really strong design aesthetic straight out of the back. The design kind of the design kind of heritage of it is so relevant to all designers that I think, I'd say there's few designers who would turn down the choice of working at Penguin in some way, especially the idea of like being an art director or creative director there it's a really great place to kind of go to in that sense, because the design heritage is there, and it's just how we can make that relevant for today as well.
And that's the really interesting point, isn't it? Because you'd think that almost there's because there's design heritage, it might be too maybe stifling for you as the creative director, because there's so much already kind of on your shoulders and so many things that you need to bear in mind.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. So the section of Penguin that I'm the creative director of is the digital video campaign side of Penguin. So it isn't the book covers themselves, which, I mean, have always been amazing. Like, they still produce some of the best book cover designs like in the world. And the interesting difference with my role on the digital side is that what I'm trying to do is make our output as well designed as what our book covers have been and will continue to be. And it's interesting, when I arrived, you could kind of see and feel that the digital design of like our website and our video output, it didn't quite have the same design heritage about it that the print side of our business do. And that was quite clear when I joined, really.
And when you joined, was there the Penguin creative team, or you were hired to put it together? Or were you hired and you said you need to have a creative team?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So when I joined, there was a team. It wasn't called Penguin Creative, and it had designers and it had video and it had UX in it. But one of the things I really wanted to do was just really rejuvenate the team. That's why I've hired, I think now, 4 new people since I've joined. We've got new roles that didn't exist before. I changed the name of the team to Penguin Creative. And yeah, we've really made a concerted effort to really, in all ways, this is a new team, essentially. We've got a new ethos. We like everything we're doing does feel, Mark, like quite different to what we were doing before. And I feel like the respect almost that we're getting around the rest of the business now is quite telling as well, which is interesting. And
awesome.
Yeah. So I think the kind of briefs that we're working on now are quite different to the briefs that the team I inherited were working on. And we are getting kind of juicier things to work on, and it's definitely been a rebuilding process. And the team I've built have just very varied skills, but the thing that unites them all, I think, they're all young and hungry and just really great at what they do individually, but as a team we're all trying to pull kind of our section of Penguin into like the year 2020, I guess. Like we're trying to make Penguin relevant, make it cutting edge, make it all the things you associate with the Penguin books. I feel like we're trying to do that with our side of Penguin as well.
So what was the difference kind of within a year? Kind of what were the briefs that you would get, that the team would get just before you joined or when you joined, and kind of
Yeah.
Well, how did they become juicier?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's the juicier stuff. Well, I give an example. So a new role that I've brought into Penguin, which Penguin never had before, is a star photographer. So when I joined, the photography of the authors that we had to work with were just press images. Usually, some of them were usually quite old, not very creatively executed, if you like. And then, so getting a staff photographer in, we were just able to have really like creative control over how we would shoot our authors. So we've just done some like really cool shoots of people like William Gibson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Olivia Gatwood, people like that. Mm-hmm. And we've really tried to make the kind of the standard of our photography as good as anything you'd see in like a magazine spread or a magazine cover or a broadsheet newspaper weekend supplement or something like that. But so each shoot we approach like it's, you know, completely relevant to the person who, the subject who we're shooting, or it might be influenced by the book they've just written. And as we've done that, now we've seen that we're getting just better access to the authors from around the business. And now they're starting to use the shots that we do on the book jackets themselves and that kind of thing. So,
brilliant. So that's the kind of the crossover from the digital to print.
Yeah, it's definitely starting to happen in that way. Like we just, so recently we shot Owen Jones and it was like his favorite photo shoot he's ever done. So then all the press releases all had the shoot that we did, and then he wanted the actual shot on his book jacket as well. So yeah, I feel like we're definitely, people are noticing us from around the business and externally as well. I feel like the strides we've made with like our illustration and video and UX output of yeah, it's getting noticed.
Are you already award-winning, aren't you?
Well, yeah. that was like just what was such a great thing after like our first year, really, as this new team, to win the Design Week Best In-House Design Team Award. Yeah, it was great. And it's just a testament to the hard work the team have put in.
It must be such amazing fuel for another 12 months now.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like it, yeah, I mean, as I was saying earlier, like the best book designers in the world kind of work at Penguin. So to kind of, for us to win that award was really nice that we were kind of like, yeah, look at us over here as well. Like we're doing good stuff too, which is really great.
So how does it work internally kind of with print creative teams and your team? Are you quite separate?
Yeah, we are actually. Well, because what's interesting at Penguin is there's like lots of different imprints. So you have a division like Cornerstone, Ebury, Penguin Press, Penguin Classics. Like there's a lot of different divisions within Penguin, and a lot of them have their own art teams, obviously working on, sometimes they're working on marketing of the book and then obviously on the book covers themselves. So we wouldn't really work that much with the other designers, but I've got to know like the other art directors a little bit, like someone like Jim Stobbard, who's been art director of Penguin General for I think over 15 maybe 20 years. We're starting to build those kind of relationships with people like that is really good. I guess we're not like competing with them in any way. So it's great to kind of see what they're doing, and then hopefully they can see what we're doing, and very different types of output. But essentially, we're all trying to make Penguin as a brand the best designed it could possibly be.
And how does it feel to have your own Penguin cover?
Well, yeah, that was really interesting. So that was so during lockdown, for the website, our editor-in-chief, Sam Parker, he had this idea of getting 20 of our leading authors to write an essay about COVID-19 and about lockdown. And it was really interesting because the essays that came back were from people like Nick Hornby and Philip Pullman, Marilee Blackman. So some really, really great authors. And they all wrote essays that were all about the same thing, but all because they're very different writers, they're all very different. And just to accompany the series, I semi-illustrated that series in a way that it was like a photo montage execution, because I thought if we illustrated each person, because they each essay was released, there was one essay released a day online, and I just thought if you illustrated them in a pure illustration sense, I think they would start looking like cartoon characters like each day. So, and then I didn't want to just use like stock imagery, so it was somewhere in between, like that photo montage-y illustration style. I think it worked really well, and it kind of,
yeah, I really loved it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I think it held it together, and it felt very penguiny because of the shapes and that kind of thing. And what was really good is then it was turned into an ebook, which we released for free. So yeah, in that kind of window, I got to design my first penguin cover, which it was really cool. And yeah, again, that kind of crossover thing. I think as in the digital world, as things are kind of progressing, I think there probably will be more crossover projects like that, I guess. And is this a good one to kind of tick off the bucket list, I guess?
for sure. like you say, there might be campaigns that will kind of cross from the print onto then all the digital media. And that was one of my questions as well before we take an unexpected turn into BuzzFeed about how has it affected you as an art director, creative director, to have worked with kind of within print and then all the digital media expanding, the rise of social and then the video, and you as a creative having to manage all of those and to create the relevant pieces of content for each of the media.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's very varied in the Penguin creative team, because we obviously got UX. So we've got a great UX designer, Natasha, who's we're kind of systematically trying to improve the UX design of penguin.co.uk every day and our other like affiliate websites. The type of direction, I guess, that's required for UX is then very different to like the direction I would give for the video team I have, and the photographer I have, and then the three other designers and illustrators I have. So it's very varied. Like, we do everything other than print, really, and that's what's quite interesting for me, is I spent most of my career in print, in publishing, like printed publishing. And only since I joined BuzzFeed, so it's only really like the last 4 years, I've been just doing digital work. So yeah, it is really interesting that you can go from being a print designer for like over 10 years to then the next day you're not designing anything in print at all. I think
let's dive into it even more. So you spent 10 years as a print designer.
Yeah.
And then... what made you go to BuzzFeed?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I knew at that point in my career, so I'd been the deputy at Shortlist magazine for about 3.5 years at that point. And I knew I wanted to be an art director. I knew I was ready for it. But at that time, like now, there was just not very many art director magazine jobs coming up. And unfortunately, there's probably less now than there was then. And with the nature of the magazine world in those days, and now even worse, it's just it was on such a decline. And it's quite sad, really, because all the magazines that I used to enjoy working at the most, like Shortlist and NME and FHM, they've all folded. So I think, like, from a kind of tactical career point of view, moving to digital was like a sensible thing in that way. But also, I just wanted to do something different and just try something else. And BuzzFeed was just a weird kind of entity at that point. Like, and I remember even saying to people when I took the job, and they were like, okay, BuzzFeed, like people, everyone had heard of it, but it was almost like no one really knew what an art director would do there. And like, and I didn't really either.
Well, because you were also the first art director outside the US.
Yeah, so that was interesting. So I inherited an art team there. So we had a picture editor, a photographer, and two designer illustrators, but they were illustrators really. And it was, so my kind of main thing there was really trying to establish, for the UK in particular, a visual identity that trying to make sense. So BuzzFeed had a visual identity in that it was known for like the quizzes and like the pixelated images of Kim Kardashian or whatever it is that you would used to be seeing, or pictures of cats or whatever. So it had a visual identity, but it didn't have one that a designer or an art director had ever kind of considered. So it was interesting going in there, trying to reconcile that and sort of trying to come up with an aesthetic that incorporated the essence of what made BuzzFeed fun and popular, but then also kind of took it to that next level of maturity, I guess. And I think that was especially the case when I joined, when they were launching BuzzFeed News really heavily in the UK. And I mean, when I joined, like, there was some of the best journalists in the whole world were working for BuzzFeed News then. We had, like, in the office, I remember at one time, there's about 3 or 4 Pulitzer Prize winner journalists there. So you kind of, it had to have a visual language that was akin to something like the New York Times or the Guardian or whatever. And it also had to still feel BuzzFeed-y enough that it didn't feel like completely removed from what they did before.
Doesn't it feel like an impossible challenge?
Well, I mean, saying it now, it does sound like that, but like I actually just found it really fun. Actually, I just was like, I can't really go wrong here. There's like, no one was expecting anything amazing visually to come out of BuzzFeed. So like, there was no kind of pressure. Like you could say there is at Penguin, which is also great because you've got a heritage there to dip into and whatever. But at BuzzFeed, there wasn't any kind of standards like in that sense. So I couldn't really lose, if you know what I mean. But then, but then in the same token, like, I look back and I think probably some of the best work I will ever do in my career, and the stuff I'm most proud of, is probably what I've done at BuzzFeed, because I think we did really push the envelope on certain projects and stuff, and there were lots of great things about BuzzFeed in terms of like the development side of it, like the CMS and they had some of the best developers in the world and that kind of thing. So you could really do some amazing stuff visually. It's just, I think up to that point, not many people had really explored doing stuff on BuzzFeed that looked amazing. So it wasn't until me and like the art directors who were in the US really started kind of tackling BuzzFeed News and trying to make the editorial output for BuzzFeed News look like really, really good. And
because you got BuzzFeed News launching, and that's when Brexit happened.
The
Brexit didn't happen, the Article 50.
Yes, yeah, so that was a really great example of, so that was like this scrolling auto-responsive comic. So as you scroll through the article, the comic animates, and it's just like a really good example of like only at BuzzFeed really could you have done that. Like, I don't know anywhere else you could really have done that without spending an absolute fortune.
It all put together by your internal team?
Yeah, exactly. So we had like a team of internal developers who were on hand to just help us with stuff like that. So that, and you only realize it now what a luxury that was. So like, there were a lot of bespoke articles that we had coded that had like animated graphics or like parallax images and stuff like this. And BuzzFeed was and is really advanced in that side. And I guess so that was, for me, it was really interesting that we were like the first people to really utilize that to make some stuff that looked amazing as well.
And I can imagine that lots of people were looking at you guys and what you're doing.
Yeah.
And probably also wishing they could, you know, do that.
Yeah, no, I think, I think we kind of had, we had license to do pretty much like whatever we felt was appropriate at BuzzFeed. And I think that is one of the great things about BuzzFeed is that they really empowered every journalist, to every writer or illustrator, whatever, to publish stuff. And, you know, like the kind of the sort of checkers on whether stuff looked a certain way or not wasn't there as much as at other places I've worked, definitely. So we had a lot of license to do some really creative stuff, which might have not have got through if you worked at a magazine or what have you, where you have to get it approved by not only the art director, but then the editor and then the PR of the celebrity or whatever it is. It always seemed like getting a kind of a creative idea for a photo shoot is always quite a long, hard process. Whereas at BuzzFeed, we kind of just did whatever we wanted, really. And that was great.
Yeah. And then how did your print background, kind of, was that useful coming to BuzzFeed, or did you have to forget about everything you've done 10 years prior?
No, well, I mean, I do think, like, a magazine designer who's got a lot of experience is worth it, their weight in gold, really. Because I think when I got to BuzzFeed, you could just see that in terms of sort of editorial design for online, like there just wasn't really the attention to detail in terms of like typography and layout and that kind of thing that you would just get from a magazine in print. So I found like there was obviously differences, but like it wasn't much more than just common sense, really, because we wouldn't really be required to do any coding or anything like that. It's essentially what we were doing was just creating images. And we would commission like some of the best editorial illustrators in the world, but then also our photography, we really worked hard to like make our like reportage photography look as good as anything you would see in like a news outlet in print as well. And then I think what I was able to bring with like layout and typography and that kind of thing really elevated what we were doing. And I think all of that stuff I learned in print. I think coming to digital from a print world like that is really, really beneficial.
Definitely. And then have you taken anything from BuzzFeed onto Penguin?
Yeah, well, there's
loads. I'm planning to, and you're kind of working your way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, I mean, BuzzFeed in terms of its, the dev of like the website, for example, was really advanced. So there's things that I've taken to Penguin, like so in our feature pages on Penguin, something we had at BuzzFeed was like a full bleed header component. So like when you did a photo shoot or a really nice illustration, we would use this full bleed thing. So when you would see an article, it would, the header image would fill your window screen, and it would like give you that sort of magazine experience, if you like, because it's like a real takeover of your screen. And so I bought that to Penguin, and you can see already like it's just really elevated the articles we're doing and the investment we're making in illustration and that kind of thing. That is something I learned from BuzzFeed, is that like a kind of a piece of development like that can really, really help like elevate an article. And then, other things, I think like our video output. So like at BuzzFeed, the way they made videos was purely obviously for the audience and like they knew their audience well and what their audience would like. And I think when I joined Penguin, the videos we were making were kind of quite heavily marketing videos. And so that kind of change of mentality with our video output has really helped as well. So like now our videos, we still obviously work with our authors, but we make videos where it's content driven rather than like marketing driven. And now, like, I think if you go on our YouTube channel, you see content that's like we've got different formats, which we've introduced, which again, help with people getting an identity about your channel. And it's really paid off. So like when I joined, I think we had like about 29,000 subscribers. We've now got like 81,000 subscribers. Like our monthly views on our YouTube channel was about 170,000. It's now over 1 million.
Oh, so wow, like, amazing.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. And also like our thumbnails, like our video titles, all of that kind of thing. Like you at BuzzFeed, you learn so much about like what people like clicking on in terms of thumbnails and that kind of thing. And bringing all of that over to Penguin has definitely helped, yeah.
Is that the kind of stuff that makes you tick?
Yeah. I mean, I guess like, yeah, just, I guess, well, it makes me tick. I mean, I really get off on like when we're really pushing the envelope on stuff and we're like the improvements I feel like we've made on penguin.co.uk and on video and UX and photography, it's like, yeah, it's just really exciting seeing it all come to life, because it wasn't that long ago that when I joined, things felt, when you looked at the output from this side of Penguin, it felt quite, not very exciting. It did the job, but it didn't have a kind of cohesion. Like there wasn't really any cohesion between what was going on in UX and what was going on social media and that kind of thing. And now I feel like all the elements of the team are really working in sync with each other. And what we're doing in UX is kind of, it feels like what we're doing in our still life photography and our video. It feels like what we're doing with our illustration. I feel like we're all kind of
like pulling it all together.
Pulling it all together. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting.
And do you have kind of bigger projects as well that you're working on now at Penguin that you can or cannot tell me about? Kind of things that you look forward to?
Yeah, well, I guess that like there's a one project that I'm quite excited about actually, which is a video project, but it's a campaign for Penguin Christmas. It's like our big Christmas Ooh. Campaign. I can't go into too much detail, but it's really nice actually, because we're just doing a purely video campaign, and I guess I'm not giving it away, but like we're kind of focusing it on our readers, and which is quite interesting. So we're not kind of picking out like the titles who we're really trying to push. It's more like the readers. We're kind of going the other way around. But yeah, so just things like that are really, really interesting, because I feel like as the team has kind of grown in its, like I guess the reputation of the team, if you like, has kind of grown from winning awards and all that kind of thing. I feel like we're able to really start to push the envelope a little bit on our creative output, which is really cool.
That's brilliant. I really look forward to the campaign, and especially seeing it kind of you turn it around and focus on the reader. And outside of Penguin, kind of as two more questions for you.
Yeah.
As in art direction, kind of how has it changed or improved since you first started to where you're now?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I think obviously from my own point of view, like moving over to the digital world like this, so that's a big change. And I think it's something a lot of other designers and art directors have done as well. I would say, I mean, I'm not sure if it quite answers the question, but like I think there's something that was really interesting in the days when I was a magazine designer. It was like the kind of pinnacle of being a designer on a magazine was the magazine cover. And that kind of that moment where you get to design a cover and then it's released to the public or whatever, it's like, that's really, as a designer, I still don't think there's that many moments that you can, you get that much of a buzz as when you've designed the cover and it's a concept or something like that, and that goes out into the world. You can't, I don't think that's ever really been replicated in anything I've done or seen on digital, because like, even though more people might see it online, there's still something special about that printed cover. And especially if you have done like a really cool shoot you're really proud of, or there's been like an illustration you've done, or like when you really feel like you've nailed the cover and that goes out there, and then the reaction you see is good or bad or whatever it is, there's just something not quite the same about digital.
Do you remember your favorite cover that you've ever made, or the proudest one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's one when I was at Shortlist. So it was called the Make Stuff Be Happy cover.
Oh, it's the wood.
Wither one, yeah, yeah. So our editor, the theme of that whole week's issue was about empowering men to start making stuff from hand again and kind of moving away from like your mobile phone or your laptop, whatever, and then start using your hands and kind of thing. And then, yeah, we just had this idea that we'd actually get the cover made. So we got like a carpenter to make this cover, and it's about the size of, say, like a door, kind of that sort of size. And so he made like the masthead, he made the typography. So I designed how it looked, sent it to him, and then he made it. And then we photographed what he made, and then that photograph became the cover. So like some people, if you looked at it, you might think it's CGI or something. But
I thought it was CGI. Yeah.
No, it's an actual, yes. No, it's all done in camera. And so that's what I'm talking about, is that kind of thing when you kind of know you've kind of got it right, and then that goes out into the world as the cover. That feeling is like, it's just, as a designer, is amazing. And obviously I'm really proud of some of the stuff we've done at BuzzFeed, and like the big stories we did, the investigation stories, like doing the kind of headers for those, and those going out to the world felt great. But yeah, I don't think you'd ever really replicate that feeling of like a magazine cover, and you've either designed it or illustrated it or whatever it is, and that going out into the world.
Do you have them framed at home?
I do, actually, yeah. I have, I've got 3 frames above my desk, which I've got, yeah, stuff like that, and that's quite big, so yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And very final question. Is there one project, kind of a dream project, that you didn't get to work on yet, but you'd really love to be involved in and bring to life?
It's really hard to say, really, because we work from briefs and that kind of thing. I guess there's some authors that I would really love to do stuff with, like whether it's a video or even just a photo shoot. And like, we're so lucky at Penguin, we publish some like amazing names like Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. So like, my absolute dream would be like, Barack Obama's book is coming out in November with Penguin. Mm. So if there was ever like an opportunity to do a video or a photo shoot with Barack Obama, that would be incredible. But yeah, like I guess, yeah, doing something like that, or even, yeah, I think the real big name authors, it's always great to get time with them. But yeah, I'd say Barack Obama would be my absolute dream.
Cool. Let's manifest it out there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Put good thoughts
in case
out.
He listens to the podcast. I don't know.
You never know.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time and for all the insights into your work. And I really look forward to sharing with the listeners when the pod is live.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
Yeah. We'll share lots of images as well of everything that we've talked about.
Oh, great.
As a companion to the pod.
Yeah.
So that everybody can see that shortlist cover and everything else that we're working on.
Yeah, and thank you for listening to me go on about myself for this long. I really appreciate
it. Did it feel therapeutic?
Yeah, no, it did actually. Yeah.
It's like your Friday therapy.
I usually bore my wife with all this stuff. So yeah, no, it's good.
Oh, she'll be so happy.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
We could have talked and talked with Tim, and I hope that you really enjoyed the journey, all the details as well, and just, yeah, the kind of the story between print and online, what's possible, what's not. And what I really loved, and I really I enjoy brands doing that more and more, is turning that marketing content into editorializing it, turning into storytelling, and really respecting the client, the whether it's kind of your B2B or B2C, and really building true relationships. So I look forward to to Penguin's Christmas campaign. I saw some shots already pop up online. I'll share them on Instagram as well. So if you want to see more of what we've been talking about with Tim, you can go to the podcast's Instagram, and that's the handle is ondesignpodcast. Also, it's ondesignpodcast.com if you want to browse through 50 or 60 plus now episodes from the likes of the creative directors at Headspace, The Guardian, the editor-in-chief of WeTransfer, just a bunch of incredible people. So enjoy and tune in for the next episode.